Hi, everybody. Welcome to BBS Film Productions' Final Cuts podcast. Today, we have a special guest, a little different than we normally have. His name is Dominic George, and he's from Rockway Mortgage.
Correct.
Great. Okay. So, Dominic, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, man.
All right. Well, I do residential mortgages, as in the name. I grew up in Rocky River. The office is in Rocky River. I currently live in Lakewood, so essentially we're helping people get into homes.
Yeah, and you know, this market now is crazy, you know. Tell us what you're seeing in the market, you know, the way the thing is going with everything with the economy and whatnot.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. I mean, we're in a weird spot where we have historically low inventory, we have high rates, and a lot of demand. So it's kind of making it pretty difficult for people, especially first-time home buyers, to get into new homes, and second-time home buyers to want to leave their low interest rate and move up. So it's all contributing to that problem, and it's making it a very unique time in the market.
Yeah. So what can you do for like new home buyers? Is there some things you can do that can help them get a house? I mean, like, for example, I've got two older children. They're both, one's going to be getting married. He's looking for a house with his wife. You know, right now they're renting. Another one's still living at home because he can't, you know, we're trying to figure out how we can get him to afford a house nowadays. Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing with new home buyers and even second time home buyers is just the education part. Like, people don't know a lot about the home buying process.
Right.
And you could try to learn yourself, just like, you know, go on the internet or Google and start searching stuff, but it leads you down paths where you just kind of get a lot of misinformation.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and it's just like anything else, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of programs out there, a lot of ways to help first-time home buyers. You know, there's first-time home buyer programs, there's down payment assistance, there's all kinds of stuff to help first-time home buyers get into a home.
Right.
But you need to find someone that you could trust to guide you through the process. And I think that's the main reason I got into this business, is because I was in the same situation.
Yeah.
At one point, I was a first-time home buyer, and I had no clue where to start. Yeah. So, and I think there's just a lack of people willing to educate the first-time home buyers.
Yeah,
and help them through the process.
And it's kind of frustrating for kids, you know, because they're like, oh my God, how am I going to afford this? But if you think about what the cost of rent is now, you know, it would make sense to go get a house. And you had mentioned the FHA.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think a lot of kids know about that.
Yeah. The other day we were talking, because we were talking about your kids. So a lot of my first-time home buyers, I wouldn't say a lot, some of my first-time home buyers will go and buy two-family properties because they're single, they don't have kids, they just want to start the home ownership journey.
Right.
So they'll go buy a two-family property. Well, you can use an FHA mortgage for that, come in with as little as 3.5% down.
Wow.
Buy that two-family property. Yeah. Now someone else is paying your mortgage instead of you paying someone else's mortgage.
Right.
And then what normally happens after that, they live in that property 1, 2, or 3 years. They move up to the next property, and that one becomes an investment property for them. So now they have an income-generating property.
Yeah, my son had actually mentioned that to me. He's like, I want to get a rental property.
This is a way to do it.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a way to get your foot in the door, because if you're going to just try to go buy a rental property right off the bat, you need 20 to 25% down.
Right, right.
So this is a better way to get in the door, start off. And again, you learn how to be a landlord, and and maybe that's not for you, right? So you get in and you buy that two-family property, you become a landlord, and you're like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So it is a good way to get your foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And to help homeownership become a little bit more affordable for you.
Yeah, I look at that and it's like, I hope things are going to turn around a little bit, but it seems like there are ways still to be able to get out and get a house. It just makes, it makes sense, to do it no matter what.
I think homeownership is a way to build wealth, right? So instead of just renting and paying for someone else's mortgage. I mean, and we talk about interest rates and everything else. I mean, essentially you're paying 100% interest.
Yeah.
And I know there's people out there on social media, that say never buy a house.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't make much sense. Why wouldn't you buy something that you could build equity in?
Right, right. Borrow against it down the road if you have to, if you do want to get a property. I mean, you know, my wife and I did that. We actually took, you know, we had our house for a long time, and we ended up doing a home equity loan and just buying another rental property and did it that way for us at the time when the rates were low. So it worked out kind of nice, you know. Yeah. So I think that's a, you know, a lot of different directions you can go with that.
Yeah.
So who would you say your perfect client is? Or the perfect person that you'd like, your company would like to work with?
Yeah, I mean, our perfect client is anyone that we can help, really. Mm-hmm. So, but if I were going to tell you who we work with the most, it is first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
I mean, I really concentrate on the first-time home buyer market because I feel like that there is a need. They need more help. They need someone who can get their back, someone they can trust, who's going to lead them down the right path and get them the best deal, the best strategy for their financial situation.
Yeah.
And there's something about it, like helping someone buy their first home is like a really important thing.
Right.
And so I take ownership in that. It's not just about the transaction to me. Like I like helping them get into their first home and just that big step in life.
Right.
And I just think that that's something that I think is looked over by a lot of companies and people out there.
Yeah.
They want to just get them in the house and you know, kind of go on to the next one. I want to help them not only on that home, but their future homes and their friends and family.
Yeah. So, you're building relationships.
Yeah.
Right.
The relationship's really important to me. Yeah. And I just think that it's funny because you'll see people shop harder for like a car than they will for a house.
Right. Right.
And you know, they'll like just whatever. And they just don't understand the homeownership.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for someone to be out there to get their back. So yeah, I really like the first-time home buyer market.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot harder to do those loans because you know you have to do a lot of handholding and walk people through stuff and educate them if you want to do it the right way.
Right. Right.
But again, that's something I enjoy. So that's the main reason I got into this business.
So do you find like banks being a little more difficult to work with, or is it just they just need more things to pre-qualify?
Yeah.
Someone?
I mean, look. We're a broker, so we have 100 different programs. The banks, they have the bank program. Like, that's it. Like, you either fit inside their box or you don't.
So that's really your advantage.
Yeah.
You can go almost anywhere and find
the right bank. We work with, on our end, we work with like 12 investors. So we have wholesale investors that that you can't get to as an individual unless you go through a broker.
Okay.
And that allows us to have access to a lot of different programs. We could shop interest rates and find people the best deal because all these investors are competing for our business.
Yeah.
So they want to give us the best deal and we could pass that on to our consumer. And it doesn't cost the client any extra to use us because we're getting paid by our investors.
Right, right.
So is the bank, you know, the bank's good for some people. Mm-hmm. Most of the time though, like our clientele, they're not bank clientele. Like, you know, like if you're coming with 20% down and, you know, 800 credit score and you bank at that bank and they have some specialty that they're offering you, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to get you a better deal than that. But again, first time home buyer, the bank's probably not the place you want to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. You know, we're going to take a short break and for our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this.
Sure.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, great.
Looking to take your podcast to the next level with video? Are you looking to develop a podcast but don't know where to start? From recording and editing to final distribution and marketing, we can help every step of the way to make your podcast stand out and get the results it deserves. Contact us today at premierpodcastpros.com to take your podcast to the next level.
Hi, everybody. We're back, and we're here with Dominic George. He is the owner of Rockaway Mortgage, and he is also a pilot. So tell us a little bit about being a pilot and how that fits in with what you do, if anything. And
so, yeah, aviation is my other passion.
Oh, cool.
So I graduated Bowling Green State University with my flight technology and operations. So the whole plan was to go and be a pilot, you know, be an airline pilot, go down that route.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I came out of Bowling Green. I flight instructed for a couple years, built up my time.
Yeah.
And then I went into the airlines and I flew for United Express. So I was flying the 140, the ERJ-145. It's the three seat jet. It's got two on one side and one on the other.
Okay.
They used to be a ton of them out of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You don't see them anymore, though.
Yeah.
Because they closed down that D terminal and Do you remember that? Yeah, there used to be a ton of flights, right? That's kind of, it's like the express jet that you'd get on.
And that's primarily out of Cleveland Hopkins?
It was. Yeah. So I was, when I was in the airlines, I flew for, it was called ExpressJet, but it's United Express. It was tagged. So, but yeah, it was, I was based in Cleveland, I was based in Newark, and I was based in Chicago. So they kind of move you around when you're in the airline.
Yeah.
But, and then after that, I went to fly charter. I did that for 5 years, which is kind of like private jets, flying charter. And then during that time when I was in the airlines, that's when I actually started doing mortgages, because when I first got in the airlines, I was the first officer and they were only paying me like $27,000.
Yeah.
So you can't live off that. I found out when you have a kid. So I had a 1-year-old at the time. We had to make ends meet. So I was doing mortgages on the side while I was, you know, flying airplanes.
Right.
I found a broker that I could work for remotely. So, you know, I did maybe 10 or 12 loans a year, not a lot to start off, just something to make ends meet. And I was like, man, I really like these. I like aviation and I like the mortgage side. I like the residential mortgages. So, you know, I came up with a plan to open up my own brokerage at some point. So I was flying and doing mortgages, my two passions. And now it's majority mortgage stuff, and I still get up in the air.
Oh, do you?
Okay. A good amount, like, you know, maybe a couple times a month.
Oh, okay. And it's still with the company?
No.
Just personal?
Yeah, just personal use.
Did you fly vacation last week? That's what I wanted to
know. No, I did not. No, I would love to have my own plane and fly, but no, I don't.
Someday,
right? Yeah, someday maybe, yeah.
That's cool.
But you know, I think there's a lot that goes into like aviation. It's like you always want to complete the mission in aviation, right? Mm-hmm. There's checklists and there's a way of doing things. And I think that does, you asked how it related to kind of mortgages.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was going to relate it, that's how I would relate it. Like just kind of completing the mission and always learning. Like aviation is constantly evolving. Like you're always learning something every time you get in the airplane.
Right.
Same thing with mortgages. Like you're always learning.
Yeah.
And in aviation, you always want to, you know, make yourself a better pilot. Like, how do I become, you know, more professional, better at my job, educating myself? So, you know, I took that stuff and translated it over to doing mortgages. And again, even with the flight instructing, like teaching people. So I kind of, you know, I learned how to teach people how to fly. And I was like, let me translate this over to mortgages. How do I teach people how to buy a home?
Right.
So,
That's cool.
You know, our process is very, like I said, it's very educational, but it's like a step-by-step process, kind of like a checklist, same thing you'd run in an airplane.
Okay. So how do you get business now? I mean, what's your process?
It's all referrals.
Really?
So, yeah. Okay, I mean, we've been around for, you know, going on 6 years now, so with my own brokerage.
Mm-hmm. So through like realtors?
Yeah, so a lot of real estate agents, our clients refer us out.
Mm-hmm.
We always make sure that we do like a really, really good job. Like we want, we want our clients to leave with a 5-star experience. Like
that's
we're a small business. Mm-hmm. So if for some reason we make someone mad, that'll be really hard for us to come back.
Yeah.
You know, back from.
It's customer service is everything.
So like we do, the client experience is like where we focus.
Yeah.
And that has helped us get referrals from our clients and from our realtor partners and other partners, you know, business partners that we have, accountants and builders and appraisers. And so, you know, and again, if you do a good job, people want to recommend you because it makes them look good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and the other thing is with B2C, you know, customer service is really, and it really is with anything, but even more so with B2C, you know, because it's just, because the people are, it's their own money. It's their own, you know, versus a company where it's like there's budgets and things. It's, so it's very personable, you know, when you do that.
Well, customer service is dead these days.
It is.
When's, you call any of these companies, you don't even get to talk to a human anymore.
Yeah. It makes you look that much better though, right?
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. And we're kind of going a little bit old school with it.
Yeah.
Kind of just making that client experience like our, it drives me nuts. Like if I go to a restaurant or a store or, you know, any of these places that I don't get good, I don't have a good client experience, I don't get good customer service, I don't ever want to go back there.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of compare it to sometimes like if you're going to buy like a nice bicycle? Are you going to go to Walmart or are you going to go to the small local bike shop with guys that know what they're talking about?
Right.
So like when I go to buy like a nice bicycle or something that I like a specialty item, I'm going to go to that small shop because I know there's experts there that know about the product.
They
that
are live gonna
it. Put me in the right bike for what I want to do or the right running shoe. Like if you go to the running shoe store or so that's kind of like how I compare our store. We're like, you know, our mortgage shop is it's we're advisors, not just like loan officers. We're not transactional. Like we're gonna put you in the right product, right, and give you the best client experience that you're going to. No one wants a mortgage,
right?
let's be honest. Yeah. Like, who wants a freaking 30-year mortgage?
Of a mortgage.
You want the house.
You don't want the mortgage.
So we try to make that experience as enjoyable as possible.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and as easy as possible. Like we do a ton of heavy lifting for people. We don't just throw stuff in front of people.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, again, no one wants a mortgage. Everyone wants the house.
Right. Yeah. No, that is so true. That's so true. So looking forward at the future of the business, what do you kind of see? What do you see? And what can people prepare for moving forward? You know, what are some of the things on that checklist that they should really keep an eye out for?
So the business is actually in a kind of crazy time right now. So it's kind of like all this stuff, you probably don't follow, a lot of people probably don't follow, but a lot of stuff came out about real estate agent commissions recently.
I did hear about that. Yeah.
And it did kind of go nationwide on the media. So
yeah. That's not a thing yet though, right?
It actually starts in June.
They did put that through.
Yeah, so it's going through. Like brother. They can't, so now realtors have to be, it used to be able to charge put your commission, you know, what they're going to be paying in commission on the MLS, which is the listing service that they list the houses in. And they could get the seller to pay those commissions and they can advertise it.
Oh, okay.
Now they can't advertise that the seller is going to pay the buyer's agent commissions. So this could get a little weird. Yeah. No one really knows what's going to happen because now buyers aren't going to have at least – the majority of buyers are not going to have enough money to pay their closing costs or down payments and then pay an agent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but that sellers or that buyer's agent isn't going to work for free. So the money's got to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now, kind of like the thought process is that, you know, the seller is still going to pay, the majority of sellers are still going to pay the buyer's agent's commission.
Yeah.
It's just going to be worded differently, but yeah, it's kind of like a little bit weird on that side on the realtor side. And what can people prepare for? So, I mean, that's a good question. So everyone's like, I'm not going to buy now. I'm going to wait for rates to get lower.
Will they?
Well, look. So this is the thing. It's like, and this comes from a guy that needs to do mortgages to survive. So please, you know, don't take it as like I'm telling you need to buy, right?
Yeah,
but. If you kind of just look at it from the perspective of like, if I wait, how much am I missing in equity? Like if you waited the last 2 years, like you probably missed out in 20% equity that you could have gained. It's probably like 15% equity that you could have gained.
Right.
So your cost of waiting doesn't make sense. Now, okay. So, and then for example, let's say you're going to wait, like your strategy is I'm going to wait until the rates get low, right? So now you're going to wait until the rates get low, and now you have all this other competition coming in the market because now the rates are low. Everybody's jumping back in, right? So now you're going to be in a position where you're fighting low inventory, right? And a whole lot of buyers.
Right.
Now, so for every 1% that the rate drops, I think it's I can't remember the number. I think it's like a million and a half more buyers or something. Don't quote me on that. I don't know numbers. It's a lot though.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so now you're just facing all this other competition. Now you're going to have to overpay for homes and put in cash off, you know, putting,
you know,
fighting with people with cash offers and doing appraisal gaps and all this crazy stuff just to get in a house again.
So I got a question because that's happening now.
It is
still
happening now. You know? Yeah, and so imagine with rates lower.
Right, it works. Right. So how can a buyer guarantee or try to get their way into to buying a house and not having to deal with all this? You know, you hear everybody saying, go look at the obituaries, you know, something like that. But, you know, there's got to be other ways that they can kind of get around that.
You know what? It's having the right representation, I think.
You think so?
And I think is where agents are important and they're kind of, they're not, again, people look at an agent like they don't do, like a lot of people don't think agents do a lot.
Right.
But if you have the right agent, and the right person guiding you on the financing side,
yeah,
it's not as bad. Like right. you hear the horror stories out there because mm-hmm. people are not getting the proper guidance that they need.
Yeah.
And they don't have the right strategy to find the home that best fits their needs and goals, right?
Right, right.
So that's where a lot of the problems are arising. And again, it's a lot of competition. There's no secret way around it. I mean, you just have to set yourself up the right, your agent has to craft a good offer when they're going on a home. They got to know if they're going to be competitive, how they can be competitive. And again, you can do this a lot on the financing side. Like, what product do I need to be competitive? And something that I do for my clients is I'll take the extra step and I'll call the listing agent when they put in an offer and I'll say, hey, and I run down the whole deal with them and I say, this client is, their credit is great. They have a good job. This deal is solid. We're going to close it fast. No issues. So stuff like that kind of give you the extra edge.
Yeah, right.
Over the competition. So there is no easy way, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's always like, what's the easy button? There's no easy way.
No.
I mean, it's just a shortage of inventory, a whole lot of buyers. And
the other thing, what about building a house? Is it make any sense to do something like that at this point?
I mean, buildings are pretty expensive right now.
No matter what.
I don't do a lot of new build stuff.
Okay.
So I can't speak, I'm not super knowledgeable on that side of it in terms of is it worth it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's probably around $250 a square foot right now to build versus when it was like $150 to $175.
Yeah.
So building for a first-time home buyer, I mean, maybe if you're out in the kind of in the places that are maybe not as popular of an area to live in, you can probably get something in the 300s.
Yeah.
But most of these guys that are building right now, they're building $750,000 homes and up.
Right, right.
So these are the second time buyers that are like, hey, I want to move, so I'm going to go to this development over here.
Got equity in my old house.
Yeah.
Got some cash.
And the builders aren't really building a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is part of the problem. Why we're in this low inventory, because they stopped building as much as they did back in 2008.
Yeah.
So this just kind of, the increase in household formations and the decrease in inventory from the builders, this added to all the issues that we're dealing with on the inventory side. But
interesting.
Yeah.
No, interesting stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's everybody needs a house, right? So, so here's your options. If you don't want to buy, you don't think it's the right time to buy, you can either rent or live with your family, or you can be homeless. I guess that's not.
That's three, right? Yeah, exactly right. Yes.
But if you want to build wealth and you want to be a homeowner, which surprisingly, I mean, I deal with a lot. I mean, my clientele is 28 to 38, and that's a lot of younger people are buying right now.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure you're set up with the right people that guide you through the process, and you'll get there. You might put in a couple offers and lose a few homes.
Yeah.
But it every time this happens to my, and again, my clients, they'll put in 2, 3, 4 offers. The house they end up with, they're always like, thank God we ended up with this house.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's meant to be. It'll happen for you.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you have the right people in your corner, it'll happen for you.
Well, Robert Kiyosaki says you have to look at 100 houses to get a deal. You know, and put offers on, ridiculous offers on 20 of them.
Yeah.
And so you might see 3.
That strategy probably won't work in this market.
No, it won't. But he swears by it. You know, he's worth hundreds of billions of dollars.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, but,
it might work.
When you're up here, it's easy to talk to the
investor. Yeah. Right. And when you're, he's probably maybe talking more investor.
Yeah, kind investor.
Of. Yeah. Right. You know, and we're talking primary residence.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, going around lowballing people. That doesn't work in this market right now.
Because there's too many people.
You know, if you're looking for a deal, there's deals out there. But you got to look at stuff that's been on the market for 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Right.
That's stuff you could try to get a deal on.
Or a fixer-upper that somebody doesn't want to get involved with. Yeah,
yeah.
I can see that.
So you know, there's deals out there to be had. And this is why I was telling people, like, hey, buy in January, you know?
It's nobody wants
when nobody's looking.
Yes.
The rates are high, but use that to your advantage.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you can refinance down the road.
Mm-hmm.
If and when rates come down, I don't want to say they're for sure going to come down. With being in the business, and this is a whole different conversation, but interest rates are heavily affected by inflation. So if we can get this inflation under control, interest rates will start to come down.
Yeah.
Okay. So
happens in November. Yeah. Who knows, right?
So there will be an opportunity to refinance at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay? Exactly.
Right. It's better to secure the home. You know, get in the house that you like.
Yeah.
You're going to pay a little bit more interest. Unfortunately, we can't pay the 3% interest rates right now. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
No.
Okay?
No.
And it's – that was artificial, really.
Yeah.
That 2 and 3% interest rates.
Yeah. And the spike in housing value is just – Yeah, unbelievable.
That's what happens. It's a supply and demand issue, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So when you have little supply and a lot of demand, mm-hmm. values are going to go up.
Yeah.
And this is why like everyone thinks there's going to be a housing crash. You need a bunch of supply to have a housing crash. So if you could show me where that's going to come from, maybe I could agree with you that there could be a possibility of a housing crash, but I don't see where you're going to get a bunch of supply. And in 2008, we had a lot of bad mortgages being written.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that right now. So we had a lot of people that foreclosed.
Yep.
Okay. So maybe a bunch of people lose their jobs and foreclose. I don't know. I mean, I don't see it. I mean, the mortgages are pretty strong. There's a lot of equity.
Yeah.
The only thing we started seeing recently is kind of credit card debt adding up.
Right. Right.
Which
that makes a factor, right?
Yeah. Coming off of COVID, I mean, everyone was getting all this, you know, free money and the stimulus and everything, and people didn't really change the way they lived. So credit card debt is starting to build up.
Do you know what I see though? The credit card companies are just increasing the amount of credit you can get.
Oh yeah.
And that's all they're doing is you owe more. They'll just keep raising it. They don't even think twice about it. It's crazy. Yeah,
and we see it on our end. I mean, obviously we see people's credit reports. So we see credit cards, we see car payments.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If you want to set yourself up as a first time homebuyer, second time homebuyer, get the house first and then go buy the car. Because these $600 and $700 car payments, and that's about the average we see. Like it's not
there's
no $400 or $300 car payments
anymore.
You want some
decent, right?
It's nuts out there. So if you wouldn't believe how much of a monthly payment affects your ratios when we're trying to approve you.
Right.
Like a $600 car payment, that could be like 20% of your debt to income ratio on our end.
And if you're late once or twice, forget that.
Don't ever be late.
I always hear that.
But like the car needs to be a secondary thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to set yourself up financially, don't think about buying that brand new. Yeah.
Get something cheap
or just
reliable.
Buy the house first, make sure that you're comfortable with the payments and home ownership and taking care of the house, and then go buy the car.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
But a lot of people make this mistake, especially younger people, and they get themselves into a $600, $700, $800 car payment.
Yeah.
$900 I've seen.
Yeah.
And it really knocks them out of being able to qualify for a home.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So now they're
sense.
Stuck into this cycle of having to rent and not being able to break out of that, you know? And it's sad to see, but, you know, we don't educate people, like kids, on this.
No.
Which is
finance in general.
Yeah. Like, why? Why are we not doing this? You want to listen.
A lot of speculation out there on that, right?
Well, you want to educate people. Teach them. You want to educate kids. Teach them what it takes to buy a home.
Yeah.
Because honestly, buying a home, you have to set yourself up financially. That's a good way to set yourself up financially for life.
Right.
Right. So like everything we talk about with credit and debts and whatnot, like we need to teach kids this stuff.
And you got to get them to want to learn it.
Yeah.
The other part. You can teach it, they don't want to learn it.
Yeah, they don't. But I think there is.
But they want the house.
Yeah,
they
exactly. So
house.
I don't think, well, this is what I'm saying. I don't think people put it in a way like, hey, like at some point in your life, you're going to want to buy a home.
Right.
I think if you teach it like that and then you start talking to them about what it takes to get to that point,
right,
to get into a good financial situation,
yeah,
I think that.
And some of the advantages.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so I went to college. I ran up a bunch of credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't freaking know. Like, you get a bunch of student loans. You're like, whatever.
Yeah.
It'll all work out.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And then you got to dig yourself out of this hole. But I have to say, like, if someone would have, like, and again, your parents, no one listens to their parents, right? They could tell you all you want. But it's like, we don't put an emphasis on this stuff.
Right.
And it's real life. Like, what are we doing in schools if we're not teaching financial literacy?
So true. That is so true.
And it's just like, I don't know, it's something to me that really needs to be taught in schools.
Yeah. Well, again, let's see how November goes. I hate to say it.
I don't know if much is going to change, but.
True. You never know. Yeah. Well, hey, you know, anybody coming into this industry, What would you suggest? I mean, if they want to do what you're doing right now.
Yes, I don't think any, and it's funny because I don't think any kid grows up and they're like, hey, I want to be a loan officer or, yeah. or a mortgage, you know, a loan advisor. Right, this is something, you know, I think it's something that a lot of people get into because they're like, oh, I see I can make a bunch of money. But that is not the attitude you want to have when you're right. trying to get into a business like this.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're going to, if you want to get into this business, you need to get into it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You need to get into it because you want to help people, like truly yeah, help people right. get a home. Mm-hmm. If you're transactional, mm-hmm. you're going to be like a lot of the 40% of loan officers that actually quit this year.
Oh, yeah, 40%.
And you're not going to make it. Yeah, it's 40%.
Wow.
They quit.
Okay, yeah.
Because yeah. they were doing refinances, which are very transactional.
Yeah.
Now, when the rates get higher, refinances dry up. You have no business because yeah. you've never concentrated on purchase.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Right.
So if I was gonna tell someone like, hey, you're gonna be a loan officer and you wanna get into doing loans.
Yeah.
The number one thing you need to concentrate on is building relationships. And this is something that yeah. and again, it's not quick money. Mm-hmm. It's not. Unfortunately, it's not. You're not gonna go in and make $300,000 your first year.
Right.
It's gonna take time.
Yeah,
but the payoff will be a lot better if you concentrate on building those relationships, doing purchase business, the refinance yep. come.
It's old school. Yeah, it's just old school.
It really is. And you know, and you're not gonna be able to use all this AI technology to do all the work for you.
No.
You're gonna have to call on the phones. You're gonna have to have in-person meetings.
Yep.
I mean, this is stuff that you have to do.
Yeah.
And get under somebody who's gonna guide you and teach you how to do this.
Right.
Right? It's right. a great, great, great business. A lot of flexibility in it. You know, there's huge rewards if you do it the right way.
Yeah.
There's big ups. There's big downs. You got to be able to know how to survive.
Right, right.
And I think doing the purchase helps you in that area a lot, you know, concentrating mm-hmm. on the purchase business.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's a great industry to get into. Mm-hmm. You're helping someone with the biggest most people, the biggest investment of their life.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
huge.
It is. Yeah.
And if you really take that to heart and you provide a great client experience and you guide people and you become an advisor and you constantly educate yourself
mm-hmm.
so you can educate your clients yeah. and make sure they're getting the best deal, I think you're going to be successful.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great career. Yeah. Now, if you want to get in just to make money, just stay out because it's just not going to work. It's
go
not
going
to work
cars.
For you. Yeah, right. If you want to be a car salesman, go do that. Yeah. But you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and people see right through that stuff.
Right, right.
It's like when you, and this is probably going a little off topic, but when you go to buy a car, like no one wants to go buy a car. Like, I mean, maybe some people like that, but
yeah,
it's a lot, it's anxiety driven. You think you're getting ripped off. You don't trust the guy across the table.
Right away, yeah.
So, and people see through that stuff.
Yep.
So when you're coming into this industry, like, you know, you want to be trustworthy. You don't, this yeah. is not, you're not selling. I mean, it's sales,
yeah.
but you're helping.
Right.
That's how you're selling.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at everything. And that's how I look at life. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, you live by those values. You're trustworthy and you want to help people. Truly, you're going to do good in this industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. That reminds me of a guy I worked with, Tom Hopkins. I don't know if you know who he is, but back in the day, he was like, same values, same moral.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, and he did extremely well in his career.
Well,
over
I think it's with any career, yeah. a lot, really, you know. And mm-hmm. I think people get away from that because they're like, I just want to make the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the money, I mean, there's you can make quick money,
yeah.
but eventually that dries up.
Well, it's a tool. Money is, if they look at it in the right context, it creates choices and it's a tool that you use.
100%.
You know, that's the difference, really.
And this industry, like I said, it could be very rewarding. You just have mm-hmm. to do it the right way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, wow, I got a great education. I think our audience is going to as well. So, Dominic, how can people find you?
Oh, well, again, we're located in Rock River. You could go to our website, rockwaymortgage.com.
It'll be right down here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have to spell it out for you. Mm. Mortgage is a weird word to spell.
It is. You know, it took
me MORTGAGE. I don't know. It is a weird
up
word
up until
to
about
spell.
2 years ago, I couldn't figure it out.
So, yeah, you can find us there or, you know, we're on social media. So, Facebook, Instagram. We're always trying to educate people on that. But
awesome.
Yeah. So, I look forward to – and again, like – I'll help anybody, you know, even if they have a question.
Sure.
Like, this is not something where I like to hard sell people or whatnot. Like,
right, right.
You have a question about homeownership, maybe, you know, even if you're not ready to buy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Bring the questions. And it's
that's
a topic,
how a conversation starts.
Right.
Right? That's how you help people.
Yeah. Start with questions. If I could educate you on something, great. If I could take your question and educate everyone else, great.
Perfect. Perfect. So. Well, that's great. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Well, that's it today, guys. We'll look forward to seeing you in our next episode. Thanks.